Welcome to Storytime by Chava. Today's story is going to be something special. We are beginning the book, Once Upon a Journey, which is Rabbi Zalman Ruderman's adapted version of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's memoirs that was personally written by the Friedrich Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson of Lubavitch. Introduction. Two trails are woven together all through this book. The first is a short path, the second far longer and wider. The short trail is the story of Baruch, a young orphaned boy from the city of Vitebsk. We follow his footsteps during the years shortly after his bar mitzvah, through his engagement to Rivka, the daughter of Avraham the farmer, and as he prepares for his upcoming marriage. It is a relatively short time in the fascinating life of a single youth. However, we now know the rest of the story that is not recorded in this book. After their marriage, Baruch and Rivka had the great merit of bringing a most precious and holy soul into this world, a son who lit up the entire Jewish people with the brilliant light of Torah and holiness. He was Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi, known also as the Alter Rebbe or Admar HaZaken, the author of the Tanya and Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and the founder of Chabad Hasidus. The second trail in this book carries us far beyond Baruch. It leads us back many generations into our history and takes us deep into the personal lives of countless communities and individuals of all types, some famous and familiar, others mysterious and new. The Friedrich Rebbe uses these fascinating snippets of our nation's history to paint the colorful background that gave birth to the leaders, teachings, and unique approach of Hasidus. To do so, he generates powerful feelings and vivid descriptions that come alive and tug at the reader's heart and mind. Young Baruch was exceptionally talented. He loved to learn, and his mind and heart were open to discoveries. He wandered through the countryside of Eastern Europe and visited many cities and shtetls. He met all kinds of people and paid great attention to the debates being held regarding various, even opposing ways to serve Hashem. He listened to the different opinions without taking sides, and he adopted the approaches that best suited his sensitive and intellectual nature. Baruch discovered that a large network of hidden tzaddikim, known at the time as the Nistarim, meaning both hidden ones and those who study the hidden parts of the Torah, worked secretly in each Jewish community. With love and patience, these disguised mekubalim encouraged the uneducated Jews, most Jews were poor and uneducated in those difficult times, to study Torah and improve their character. At the same time, the Nistarim spread the teachings of Pnimis HaTorah, the Torah's deepest mystical knowledge. They succeeded in introducing the study of Kabbalah to many Talmidei Chachamim who until then had studied only Nigla, the Torah's revealed teachings, such as Halacha and Gemara. With time and effort, they succeeded in uplifting and inspiring a large part of the Jewish nation. The effect of their work continues to this day. I'm dedicating these stories to the Telishevsky children. Chapter 1. The Astonishing Discovery. Our story takes us back over 400 years to a time when the small town of Lubavitch was home to about 100 families. Jewish and non-Jewish families lived side by side in peace and harmony. Lubavitch was less than 1 mile in each direction. Thick forests surrounded it on all sides, giving the town a cozy and relaxed atmosphere. A great river named the Berezina wound its way across the countryside to the north. Headstone Stream was a far smaller river that flowed gently along the south side of the settlement. Its residents felt pleasantly secluded from the rest of the world, far from the noisy, bustling cities. The town received its name many years earlier in memory of its founder, a Jew named Rebbe Meir. All who had known Rebbe Meir agreed that he was an exceptionally good person. He was unusually good-hearted and was filled with love. He loved Hashem and everything that Hashem created in his universe. He loved all people and all creatures. He loved nature and the earth upon which he lived. Remeir longed to escape from the pressures of city life and to create a quiet and relaxed Jewish settlement. He wished for a place where he could serve Hashem without disturbance. He set off with three other Jewish families in search of an appropriate location. After a while, they discovered an ideal area surrounded by forests and streams and built their homes there. It took many years for the tiny village that Remeir founded to grow into a town. At that point, its residents began looking for an appropriate name. They settled on a name that would serve as a memorial to the unique, loving character of Remeir. They chose Lubavitch, a Russian name that means the town of love. Reb Binyamin the peddler and Reb Wolf the shoemaker were good friends who lived in Lubavitch. They had much in common. Both had been married for many years without having children. They had true Yiras Shemayim and equally good hearts. They worked extremely hard in order to make a living. The other residents of Lubavitch considered them to be simple and uneducated people who were completely unable to study Torah. Reb Wolf belonged to the Chevras Tehillim Society, whose members would rise early each morning to recite the entire Tehillim before davening Shacharis. In the evening, he would sit quietly at the end of the table in the Pe'alei Tzedek Shul and listen to the Rav give a shir on Ein Yaakov. He never opened his mouth to ask a question or to offer his opinion. Nobody could tell whether Reb Wolf understood a single word of the discussion. The same was true of Reb Binyamin. He displayed no Torah knowledge at all, and nobody ever saw him peering into any kind of sefer. The two friends were often seen wandering together through the marketplace in the heart of the town or striding side by side along one of the three dusty roads that branched off the town square and led to the nearest settlements. Dobromysl, Rudnya, and Rososno. The pair would often disappear from the town of Lubavitch for long periods of time. To the few people who were curious enough to ask where they went, they explained that they had to make their rounds to the nearby villages and towns in order to do business. Reb Binyamin sold various goods that he carried in a large sack on his back. Reb Wolf fixed old shoes or fashioned new ones for those who could afford it. Neither of them aroused much attention from their fellow townsmen. After all, they seemed to be extremely simple people who made no special impression and lived quiet and modest lives. At that time, a gang of violent robbers moved into the forests between Lubavitch and Dobromysl. They terrorized the innocent passersby. Hardly satisfied with attacking travelers and stealing their money and merchandise, from time to time, the robbers also entered the nearby towns to break into homes and steal whatever they could carry away. One day, two members of the forest gang set off on a mission to steal from Lubavitch. They quietly broke into a house on the edge of the town, thinking that no one was home. To their surprise, they discovered that a 13-year-old girl was there. She was horrified to see the intruders and burst into loud, terrible screams. The robbers didn't want her neighbors to hear, so one of them grabbed the girl and covered her mouth. The brave girl began struggling with the powerful robber, fighting with all her strength. As soon as she was able to uncover her mouth, she turned her face towards the windows of the house and continued screaming at the top of her lungs, "Help me, help me!" The angry intruder was not ready to give up. He held her mouth closed with one hand and cruelly beat her with his other fist. Suddenly, the door of the house flew wide open with a startling crash. A man came rushing inside. For a moment, the robbers were alarmed, but when they saw Reb Binyamin, they quickly relaxed and let out a loud, wild laugh. The girl, whose eyes had flashed with a spark of hope when the door opened, quickly resumed her desperate struggle. She feared that Reb Binyamin would be unable to save her from the dangerous men. It would take no more than a single punch to send the skinny peddler sprawling on the ground. "Release her immediately," commanded Reb Binyamin with a tone of authority. "Get out of here, both of you," he added, turning towards the second robber who was rapidly filling his sack with whatever valuables he could find. The intruders replied with snorts of disgust and looks of hatred. But a second later, their limbs became paralyzed, and they crashed to the floor helplessly, like heavy pieces of furniture. The local police and the town doctor were quickly summoned. The doctor began treating the beaten girl, while the police securely bound intruders who soon regained their ability to move and talk. The intruders were taken to the police station and interrogated. Soon enough, they revealed the identities and location of the rest of the gang. Within a few hours, the police launched a raid and captured the entire gang. From that day on, the residents of the area were no longer terrified to travel through the forest. To their delight, the police were able to locate and return much of their stolen money and belongings. As strange as it may sound, Rebbe Nyaman did not become the talk of the town. Nobody treated him any differently than before. Perhaps the people of Lubavitch had not heard all the details of what had occurred with the two robbers. Perhaps they simply could not understand how someone as simple and unlearned as Rebbe Nyaman could possibly have hidden powers. In any case, life went on as usual in Lubavitch. The story of the robbers was completely forgotten. One day, the famous scholar and Gaon, Rev. Bezalel Uri of Polotsk, arrived in Lubavitch. The important guest was known to be a genius who had mastered Nigla, the revealed teachings of the Torah, such as Gemara and Halacha, as well as Nistar, the Torah's hidden teachings and the deep secrets of Kabbalah. Wherever he went, people treated him with the utmost respect. More than once during his visit, the honored guest asked, "Where is Rebbe Nyaman, the peddler?" "Why are you so interested in the peddler?" replied the townsman in wonder. The Gaon of Polotsk gazed at them in astonishment. "Are you telling me that you do not know who Rebbe Nyaman is?" "Why," he continued, "Rebbe Nyaman is a great tzaddik, an outstanding Talmud Chacham. He is a mekubel with supernatural powers." The astonishing discovery spread like wildfire. Before long, everyone was discussing Rav Bezalel Uri's description of the quiet man whom they'd always known as a simple and uneducated peddler. But where was Rebbe Nyaman? As it turned out, Rebbe Nyaman had left Lubavitch just a few days earlier for yet another of his business trips. People had seen him setting off with a large sack on his back and with Reb Wolf, the shoemaker, at his side.